The first reading is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and it teaches us that the body and blood of Jesus are truly present in the bread and wine. Those who do not recognize the real presence of Jesus eat and drink judgment upon themselves. Reading from verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered it to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ?" The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter, and we read verses 1 through 15. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved them to the end, during the supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If then I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, you also should do just as I have done to you." This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. One of the aspects of our human mind, and in part, it's affected by the fact that we are sinners, that we are seldom content to be presented with something we can't figure out. Oh, occasionally it's fun. For instance, if you go to a magic show and see a magician performing, and you say to yourself, how did he do that? At least deep down, you know that it really wasn't some kind of miracle. He has some trick up his sleeve. You just haven't figured it out yet. But for instance, if you were to go to one of those Halloween houses, even though you know that people are going to be jumping out at you, you can't quite figure out when it's going to happen. And most of us, maybe all of us, will at least let out an audible gasp when suddenly something jumps out at you. Quite a number of people will scream uncontrollably. Our brain doesn't like surprises. It doesn't like it when we can't figure things out. And even though there are programs that you can find online and television that, you know, great mysteries, strange things that have happened, they all end up giving you some kind of plausible explanation for the things that seem too difficult to figure out. And if they can't come up with something that's at least scientific, they blame it on aliens. Aliens did it. We just don't like not being able to figure things out. And there's times, particularly when it comes to our relationship to God, that we have to be content with that. Because God, you see, will always know more than us. He is God, after all. He is limitless in his knowledge and in his power. But we as human beings have limitations. Sometimes we just have to trust. And when we don't, well, that's when we begin to get in trouble. For instance, as God has revealed it to us who he is, he's shared some things with us that, even as your pastor, I still can't figure out. God is three, and yet he's one. I can do three, and I can do one. I've never been able to do three in one. Down through history, people have tried to come up with explanations for how three can be one. Well, they always end up denying something that Scripture teaches. They become heretics and get cast out of the church. But to this day, people still try. There's some things about God that we just can't understand, even though he's revealed them to us. And it's part of our sinful nature to not be content with that. We see this in the Garden of Eden. You know, God put a tree in the Garden of Eden. the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But he didn't want man to know evil. Why did he put it there? Well, God didn't say. He didn't give a reason. He just put it there and said to Adam and Eve, and by the way, don't eat of it or you'll die. And for a while, Adam and Eve were content with that until Satan came along and he said, you know, I've got this figured out. I can explain to you why God put that there. He put that there because he didn't want you to become like him. He wanted to keep certain knowledge away from you because then you would become God. I've got it all figured out, so said Satan. And God is lying to you. You know, Luther did have an explanation for why that tree was there. And although it may not be the right one, it seems to make a lot of sense. God put that tree there so that man may worship him. How do we worship God? By putting our faith and our trust in him. Every time, Luther said, they walked by that tree, they were expressing their trust in God and in his word. And then when Satan came along, they had a choice. Do I trust God, though he has not explained it to me, why he put this tree here? Do I listen to Satan, who has an explanation? They chose to figure out something God had not revealed. Thus, sin entered the world. There are just some things, my dear friends in Christ, that God does not reveal to us. Sometimes he's got a reason for it. Sometimes it's just that our minds will never be able to understand. So, what does this all have to do with tonight and with the Lord's Supper? Well, here we have another one of those things that we know what it is, we just don't know how it is. Here we have bread and wine. But when we do what the Lord told us to do with it, it isn't just bread and wine. Take and eat. This is my body. Take and drink. This is my blood. Those are the Lord's words. Well, how can that be? He didn't tell us. That's what he said it is. But you know, most of the world can't accept that. If you examine all the denominations of the world, at least from a historical perspective, because things are starting to drift a little bit more today. But going back a few hundred years, if you looked for a church body, it said, this is the body and blood of the Lord, and by the way, it's also bread and wine at the same time. There's only one church body on the planet that historically has said that. Lutherans. and the rest of Protestantism? Well, it symbolizes the bread and the body and blood of Jesus. But the body and blood really isn't there. And you don't really put it into your mouth. Eat it. Drink it. Oh, they still like to talk about feasting on the Lord's body and blood, but it's not with your body. Supposedly, by faith, we ascend into heaven, and we, by faith, eat and drink, and feast upon the body and blood of Jesus. But if an unbeliever came up, he ate and drank the body of the Lord, not believing it was truly there, well, they would say that he didn't get the body and blood of the Lord because he didn't have faith. But you know, that's not what the scripture says. To begin with, as I stated earlier, the bread and the wine is still there. When we recited those words from 1 Corinthians 10:16, it stated exactly that. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a participation with the blood of Christ? You know, if something participates with something else, it's still there. Something else is joined to it. The bread which we break, is it not a participation with the body of Christ? Bread, wine, body, and blood. But as we were also reading from 1 Corinthians 11, we must examine ourselves before we eat and drink, because if anyone eats the bread and drinks the blood in an unworthy manner, like without faith, he's sinning against the body and the blood of Jesus. You see, it's still there, whether you believe it or not, when we're doing what Christ told us to do. As I remarked several weeks ago, I think, it has to do with understanding the direction of our relationship with God. God comes down to us. We don't climb up to him. He meets us where we are because it would be impossible for us without Christ coming down, climb up into heaven. He must carry us there if we are to be there at all. This is a special meal. Christ, in a way that we cannot explain, comes to us with his very body and blood. Well, how can that be? That happened 2,000 years ago, and now he's ascended into heaven. I don't know. I can't explain it. But Christ said it. And I believe it. And I hope you believe it too. Because it's very comforting. Not just to hear Christ speaking to us in his words. But when you're weighed down by doubts and fears, if you wonder, could God still love me after the things that I've done? There he is. Personally, coming to you personally. Take and eat. And all that body that hung on the cross, here it is for you. take and drink. You know that blood that I poured out? It was meant for you. Dear friends, in Christ, it doesn't get any more personal than that. Christ leaving his heavenly throne once again in a mystical way that we can't explain. Coming to those who choose to remember Jesus the way he asked us to remember him. Yes, there are some things about God that he tells us that we're never going to understand. We'll never be able to explain. Just because we can't explain the Trinity, that doesn't mean that God is not one, as Scripture says. And at the same time, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It takes two pages in the hymnal in the Athanasian Creed to try and not really explain it, but to correct all the errors that have been attempted trying to explain it. How can bread and wine contain the true body and blood of Jesus? We don't know. But according to the word of God, words that can bring the heavens and earth into existence, words that can raise the dead, calm the storms, according to that word of God, the body and blood of Jesus are there for you and me. God grant that we believe. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.